Hi there, and welcome to another brand new episode of Clan Chat, the official podcast of Glasgow Clan, as we bring you the latest exclusive interviews from around the club. I'm Craig Anderson, and it's another busy show we have for you ahead of another busy weekend, which sees Glasgow Clan host Nottingham Panthers on Friday night before heading to Cardiff Devils on Sunday. Coming up this week, Scott Arson, the former defenceman now with Fife Flyers, talks about his friendship with Matt Haywood after he was announced for Mr. Clan's testimonial in February. Taking us into the literal locker room is Ian Kelly, aka Horse, who tells us all about what's involved in being part of the equipment staff, and he answers the biggest question of all: why is he called Horse? And in a Clan Chat exclusive, brand new signing Scott Jacklin gives his first interview since signing from French side Chamonix as he looks ahead to the weekend. Don't miss it. Oh, and there's a small matter of the Clan Conundrum as well. Welcome to Clan Chat.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
Time to test the Clan knowledge with our Clan Conundrum, and our question this week is based around Friday's game when Nottingham Panthers come to town in the first of the two matches this weekend. What we want to know is, there have been eight games between the clubs since Scott Pitt returned from his spell at Manchester Storm at the start of last season, but how many points has he picked up in games with the Panthers since he came back? That's how many points has Scott Pitt got since returning to the Clan in the eight games against Nottingham Panthers. Answer to come at the end of the show.
I'm Craig Peacock and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Let's look back at last weekend, and we go all the way back to last Friday when Glasgow travelled to Dundee Stars for the first leg of the Challenge Cup quarter-final between the teams, kicking off the knockout phase of the competition. It ended in a 1-1 draw, which keeps it finally poised for the second leg on Wednesday the 11th of December, when both teams are at Brayhead Arena to decide the first semi-final spot. The game on Friday was a hard-fought affair with not much between them as they battled out the draw, and after 40 minutes, both goalies' nets were unblemished. That changed within the opening minute of the third when Nolan Laporte opened the scoring for the Clan, but Dundee hit back through Anthony Beauregard to restore parity, and it stayed that way for the rest of the game. Clan returned home on Saturday to face the Guildford Flames in the Elite League, and there was bad news before the game when it was announced that Travis Earhart had picked up an injury in Tayside on Friday, meaning he was sharing the treatment room with Craig Peacock, Matthew Roy and Scott Tansky. With Solway trio Liam Stenton, Rory Lockerbie and Scott Henderson missing, it meant a return to the ice for head coach Zach Fitzgerald, swapping the suit for the skates for his first appearance as a player since the playoff quarter-final at the end of last season, coincidentally against the Flames. Sadly, the injuries seemed to take their toll as Paul Dixon's side claimed a 4-2 road win, and for the first half of the game there wasn't much between the two sides, with special mentions for goalies Patrick Killeen and Travis Fullerton, who were both on top form. Ian Waters opened the scoring though after 14 minutes of the second period and was soon cancelled out by Matt Becker, and both sides ended the middle session tied at 1-1. Flames kicked on in the third, and power play goals from Jamie Crooks and TJ Foster in the final 10 minutes seemed to do the damage. Chad Rowe got one back for the Clan, but Cruz Reddick added an insurance marker to complete the job. Post-game, I caught up with coach Fitzgerald and started by asking him how his body was after his first taste of competitive action in 7 months.
We'll see you tomorrow, I guess.
But looking back on the game tonight, defeat in the end, but what can you take from it?
Well, you know what? Killer, as always, played amazing. A couple huge saves. I liked their effort. We never gave up. Kind of got out of our hands there, the 1-1 game. I thought it was quite a change there. Variables out of our hands. Changes the game a bit. But I thought, you know what? For the most part, we played a good game. We're short on bodies. A lot of guys wearing suits. And it's tough. You know, you got to ask players to play a lot of minutes. A lot of minutes. And as much fun as it is to play a lot of minutes, it's tough. It's hard on the body. We've had a pretty busy schedule. And, you know, second game and on the weekend, it'll catch up to you a bit, you know. Basically, the only reason I played was try to relieve a little bit of that, you know, try to take some minutes out of the guys that are getting tired. Playing 5D pretty much the last couple weeks. D have been amazing. They've done a really good job. It's fun to play 5D, but it's also taxing. So I got to give them a ton of credit. You know, I think I got to give Guildford a lot of credit for their penalty kill. They did a really good job tonight. They kind of, you know, shut us down a bit. You know, I think we did irk one in, but got to give them credit where credit's due. But otherwise, I'm not I'm not upset with how we played. I think, like I said, we battled, and you know there was a chance, a tie game, and we just didn't pull it off. It's a tough league to play in, you know. It's a tough league to play in, and got to give Guildford credit.
The effort's there, that goes without question, but when you see the likes of Matt Cowlett getting nice time, he does, Jack Musial as well, that must please you as well, that it's helping them develop along the road as well.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys need time. You need to play games to develop a bit. You know, it's their position is a very, very hard one to play. You know, when you're limited ice time, it's hard to get into the game mindset, and it might be the hardest job in hockey. You know, I played it in the American League where, you know, you're not playing in ton of minutes, your legs seize up a little bit, and you go out there and you're expected to play full pace, and it's tough to do. But I thought they played very well tonight, very solid. You know, they're getting the puck in, they're keeping it simple. That was kind of the game plan tonight, was keep it simple, get it up, moving, get it in their zone, and go to work. And no, I'm proud of those two. I'm really proud of those two. I think they did a very good job. You know, having, you know, a seasoned veteran with Matt Haywood in the middle is really good to have. You know, it's somebody that they can lean on and somebody that's going to show them the way. And, you know, it's great to have that, you know, leadership. And, hey, they did a really good job. And I'm proud of them. And I hope they keep going with it. And they're going to get better and better as we go.
Travis Earhart was the latest player to join the casualty list. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel as far as that's concerned?
It's tough. You know, we've played a lot of games, a lot of travel. You know, the injury bug's catching us a little bit right now, but you know, guys are playing lots of extra minutes and they're doing a good job, and they're they're doing it with a good attitude. Hopefully we'll get a few of those guys back soon. We'll see what happens. It's always hard to say, but you know, missing a guy like that is tough. You know, he's good on, he's big on our power play. He's, you know, relied on heavily, skates the puck really well, and just does a really good job overall for us. And you know, it's tough to lose those guys, all those guys out. You know, Tansky's the energy, and Wazzy in front of the net, and you know, banging in pucks, and you know, Peacock is those guys are all really big losses for us. It's tough to play down, but I think, like I said, guys are really stepping up. They're finding ways to get those minutes and work hard. There's zero let up. You don't see it really affecting them until after the game, and you know, they're hurting tonight, as they should. And you know, basically just what I said was, we got to move on. You know, we got lots more hockey to go. December's a crazy, crazy month, and even this weekend we got home game, and then long travel on Sunday. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we get some guys back.
Hello, it's Jordan McLaughlin here, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Head coach Zach Fitzgerald following Saturday's defeat to Guildford Flames. We've had a couple of names added to the ever-growing list of former Clan greats announced and returning to take part in Matt Haywood's testimonial in February. Kevin Phillips was announced as coming back on Wednesday, and it'll be great to see him back. We'll get a chat with him next week. But earlier this week, I caught up with the other former player who's coming back, Scott Arson. Scott is, of course, part of the Fife Flyers nowadays, but his friendship with Matt has stood the test of time since he first joined the club in 2013. So I asked him how much of an influence Matt and his friendship had been on what was a positive experience for him in Glasgow.
Yeah, I think he was, a really big part of those teams and my whole experience, when I was with the Clan. He was obviously a guy that was there since day one, and I think right away when you meet with the guys or you walk into the locker room for the first time, he's a guy that will come up and introduce himself and get to know you right away. And, I think he's buddies with everybody in that regards, and, you know, just a great guy in the room, and not only on the ice, but away from the ice as well. He always is willing to show new guys, you know, where to go in town and the good places to eat and things like that. And he starts, you know, right away, and you know, he's just a real friendly guy, a real great guy, and he's one of my really good buddies to this day.
I mean, that sounds as though, in terms of first impression, Matt was a real key player in that, the way he came up and introduced himself. How much does that make you feel at ease and make you feel welcome?
Oh yeah, I think that's huge, especially when you're coming to a different country, and especially for the first time, and you're not really familiar with things, and everything's a little foreign to you, and it's nice to have, you know, people that welcome you with open arms, and you know, they want to get to know you right away. And Matt was exactly that, and it just shows you, you know, the leadership skills he has as well. He's obviously a tremendous guy in the room, and he leads by example on the ice, and it's just the type of person he is, and I think everyone would say the same thing about him. So it's just it was great to be able to not only play with Matt my first year over here, but to continue to play with him for three more years as well.
And of course, when you look at the list of players that is coming back, guys that you're obviously very familiar with, other guys less so, how much are you excited to catch up with guys like Ryan Finnerty, Chris Frank, and people like that again?
Yeah, I think it'll be great. It's a great opportunity to catch up with former teammates and even a former coach, and because sometimes you'll send the odd message here and there or talk briefly, but a lot of times you don't get to fully catch up, and some guys I haven't spoke to in a while, so it'll be really nice to see everyone who's there and to catch up and share some stories of the good old days when we were together, and I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to the entire event, and I'm sure it's going to go down great.
When someone like Matt asks you to be part of such a big game, a celebration of him, and as he's put it, a celebration of the clan as well, is that the sort of thing that you jump at, or do you need to take a little bit of time? Maybe in your case, obviously, you're still a current player as well, maybe, but is it something that you would jump at the chance at?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think right away, it's a no-brainer. As soon as someone asks you to be involved in an event like this, and again, even more so because, a guy like Matty is such a tremendous guy, and, right away, I'd do anything to help support him, and, I think he deserves to be celebrated as well. He's been with the clan since day one, and he's shown nothing but loyalty, and, on and off the ice, he works hard. He's a great ambassador for the team, and I think he's the first person for sure that deserves a testimonial game or to be celebrated, hands down. And it's great to see everything coming together for him. And I know him and Jenny have done a great job putting things together, and it's been really exciting. And as it gets closer, I'm sure it's going to amp up even more.
Tell us about Matt as a teammate. We know all about Matt as a person, how welcoming he was to the likes of yourself and some of the other guys I've spoke to when I've done this. But what is he like in the dressing room in a game in the heat of battle? What's he like to play alongside? And even against, right enough, I suppose. Yeah. That's relevant for you.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the circumstance, I guess, and in the game. And but generally, in the room, he's very, very calm and, reassuring. I think he's a good voice of reason in the room. Always trying to keep guys positive and keep guys going, whether you're up or down in the game. And, but when he gets on the ice, he's always been a competitor. He always fights every second of his shifts out there, and, you'll never see him taking shortcuts in any part of his game. And, that just, again, shows his leadership abilities and the type of leader he is, on the ice as well. He does things by example. And I think when a lot of guys on the team see that, they jump at that opportunity to follow him. And, that's a guy you want to be leading your team in battle. And I think, that's basically, that's just Matty in a nutshell right there.
Tell us about the fact that obviously you and your wife, and obviously Matt's been married in the time you've been over here as well. The bond has grown not only between yourselves, the men, but the wives as well. That's a real close friendship, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We've always remained close, and as our families grew, I think it just made our friendship grow even stronger. We both have kids now, so my wife and Matt's wife are really good friends, and I think spending some time playing together and being on the same team definitely helps, but even then we still make time to try to catch up with them, and you know, we find opportunities, both of us, to, you know, to get together the odd time here and there just to catch up. And, you know, it's just been a real great relationship, a real great friendship to have with Matt and his family.
Now, looking ahead to the night in February, I think tickets are selling quite well. There's a lot of excitement about the event as well. What are you expecting from the night itself when it comes around in February?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I've never played in a testimonial game. I've never been to one. But, you know, I'm expecting it'll be, a great event for everyone involved, not just the players that are playing in it, but I think, for those who come to watch, it's going to be a great event, and I think it's going to be exciting, and you know, there's going to be a lot of laughs as well. So, you know, I'm just really going into it not expecting, but not knowing a lot about what it's going to be like. But, you know, I do think it's going to be, you know, a once in a lifetime event, and it's going to be something that we're all going to remember, for the rest of our lives. So, you know, it's going to be a great event for Matt and a great event for everyone else involved.
So to finish up, Scott, when I mention Matt Haywood to you, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of everything you've experienced together?
Oh, God. there's so many things, so many memories with Matty. There's a couple of things that come to mind right away. I think you'll hardly ever see Matt without a cup of Yorkshire tea in his hands.
it's amazing how often that crops up.
Yeah, it's usually either that or, if it's on a bus trip or, you know, kind of relaxing around the house, you might see him with, you'll usually see him with a bag of crisps at some point. But yeah, Yorkshire tea, crisps, he enjoys a nice kebab sauce. And, I can't forget to mention, our road trips down to Sheffield, we always look forward to those because we knew at the end of the game, Maddie's Nana would always pack us some homemade sandwiches for the road trip back up. So I know the boys always look forward to those, and they were delicious. So, which made it even better. So, we always look forward to those trips as well. And we always be asking Maddie, are the sandwiches coming tonight? Are the sandwiches coming tonight?
Did you have a favourite filling of the sandwiches? I remember Matt Keith telling me he liked the turkey and ketchup, which for him was a surprise, but he really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, I loved them all. There was I think they had turkey and ketchup, they had the ham, straight ham, and then the tuna, but they all came with a healthy layer of butter on them as well, so they were delicious.
Hi, this is Matthew Roy, you're listening to Clan Chat.
Scott Arson there discussing his return for Matt Haywood's testimonial in February. Time to go into the Clan locker room in a way we've never done before on Clan Chat and get some insight on what it's like for the equipment staff, forever working away in the background, and as any of the guys will tell you, they're very much part of the team. Ian Kelly, known as Horse, told us all about what it's like to work for the club from that point of view, looking after the guys and their equipment and the sort of work he, David McLeod, and the rest of the team do. Before we get Horst to detail what's involved with the club, I asked him how he got into equipment management when he was but a young colt. Really?
It was probably about 2003 I started the equipment side of things. I had mates who at that time were playing for the Kestrels, and there was quite a closer link with the Fife Flyers at the time, so they guys were playing up guys like Gavin Holmes and Colin Grubb, who's brother Martin Grubbs, head coach at Solway Sharks, and they obviously back then when they were playing Kestrels and stuff, or they were playing back down at Kestrels and that, just always needed somebody to give them a hand because they were used to it, you know, at the Flyers level. So they got me along, and it started off with filling water bottles and opening the gate, as you can imagine, taking sticks around to the bench and stuff. And for there, it just sort of, as how can I put it, snowballed and escalated to the point that I think it was 2006 season when there was a bit of demise with the BNL. The Kestrels found themselves as being the Fife Flyers at the time. And I ended up going with them and doing it sort of like in a, it was a part-time but full-time capacity, if you like. because you were working and then dealing with that at night and stuff and running up and down the country. And that was when I had to start really looking at what I was doing for them, you know, like fixing things and learning to skate sharpen and do repairs and stuff like that. And I spent a season with them, and that season we won a Grand Slam, which, I mean, it wasn't the highest level in the country, but at the end of the day, it was still a Grand Slam, and it was, you know, it was a good thing to be a part of. And basically, it just, you know, I'd done that for a wee while, and then, as you can imagine, work commitments take over, and you have to take a wee bit of a back seat, and Kestrels went back doing Kestrels and stuff. And it was sort of like earlier on, it would be 2015-ish time. I mean, we had some good runs with the Kestrels, really, had some really good teams, some good local lads, and we won some good, you know, accolades, you know, at the SNL. Davey Smith was coaching, you know, I was watching guys like, you know, and working with guys like Chad Smith and seeing, you know, young guys like that coming through and developing, and they were playing alongside like ex-Flyers, you know, like Daryl Venters and Andy Finlay, and you know, and you see these guys coming on, so it makes you want to help them. So, you know, I went back doing the Kestrels, as I said, and then I got asked to do a GB Prospects game in Fife. They were looking for a sort of team between the 20s and the senior team. They recognised I had a lot of talent, Mike Wall and Sammy Zajac and stuff like that. They were all involved in those games. I'm sure he's at Belfast now. Long, Kieran Long, I'm sure he was in it. Like, there was quite a few names, yeah. Anyway, and we played you know, a game in Fife, and I got involved in that, and then I got asked to go away with the GB20s to the World Championships that year. And I went with the 20s, and then the next thing I know, I'm getting a text message, you know, I got a message via Twitter for Ryan Finnerty, asking if he could call me. And I ended up phoning him. I was on shift that day, and we'd stopped at the job. My colleague was doing his paperwork, and I thought, right, I'll give him a phone. And he basically offered me the job at the Clan, because they basically lost the guy that was doing it, like Ross,
yeah.
And I said to him, I don't think you realise what I do for a living, and explained a few things. He says, look, I'm actually going to be on holiday for 2 weeks, you know, after, at the end of that week. So I met with him and Gareth, and I basically come on board for 2 weeks to help them out, and at the end of those 2 weeks we'd managed to get Lawrence up for Nottingham, and then they asked me to stay on, and I stayed on to the end of the season. And then obviously, as you know, David McLeod's taken over then, and then I got asked to help David for the next year, try and basically learn David a bit of the ropes. And it's just, I came back to Fife, and I dealt with Fife for basically a season and a half, and work commitments and other things, you know. I lost a wee bit of probably love for it as well, because there was that much going on. I took the decision to step back, because obviously work commitments were always going to come first, and family. And then obviously I'd been speaking to David, and you know, Pete got in contact, and I ended up coming back to Glasgow again. And then obviously they've asked me to stick around this season again, and I think it's, as I say, I mean, that's how the pathway sort of followed for me. But you know, for the equipment side of things, I started off this guy that filled water bottles, and I worked alongside guys like Alan Grubb, who was a bit of a mentor, you know, a mentor for me in the job when I went, you know, for Kestrels to Flyers for that year and a bit. You know, well, the, you know, the league restructure went on, and I basically built on it for there. And I'm sure you'll be aware, and everybody knows these, and they know what I can do, and I've just evolved, you know, along beside my own job, you know, with the ambulance service. You know, I look at hockey as my switch off, if you like. Everybody's got, you know, some people knit, some people go jogging, some people, you know, exercise in different ways. Mine's is hockey and hockey equipment and doing all the bits and pieces that I do for the boys.
So that's
how it sort of, you know, went along for me anyway, Greg.
Well, tell us about a typical night then. You know, at home, you know, all the equipment that needs sorted out. Take me through a typical night. What you and David and the two lads and everybody else involved. Take me through what happens of a night.
So for myself and David, our day basically starts first thing in the morning. So for a typical Saturday, for example, at home, you know, 7 o'clock face off at night. I will probably leave Kirkcaldy around 7:15 in the morning.
Wow.
So I'll leave Kirkcaldy about 7:15 in the morning and I'll be through to Glasgow, you know, back 8 o'clock. By that time, David's there and the players may be coming in. Some of them, you know, if they've got a morning skate or something like that, they'll be there. And I'll normally arrive when they are either just about to go on the ice or they're on the ice. You know, just depending what we agree the night before. That morning, you know, once they come off, we look at, like, you know, getting the room ready and getting everything ready for that game at night. And what we do, myself and David, we do quite a lot of the work. And obviously David's got his buddy Stuart comes in and gives us a hand, and then we've got like Arne and Evan, who we call the Twin Towers. They help us, you know, later on in the game. And I will be brutally honest, hockey's changed so much, and you do need, you know, sometimes extra bodies just for a wee hand. It makes things easier. But for me and David, as I said, our day starts really early in the morning, and when I come in, and the guys are coming off, you know, and doing what they need to do. And me and David's looking at, right, let's get this room ready for, you know, for the guys coming in at night. So it's kind of weird because myself and David have actually got quite a good relationship in the fact that we don't actually even need to talk to each other.
Well,
and I don't mean that in a bad way. Yeah. I mean that as in he knows what he's going to do, and I know what I'm going to do. So what? Because he's there all week, what I try and do is I try and come in and on game days, you know, whether that be a Saturday and a Sunday or a Friday and a Saturday or just a Saturday or we're going on the road, but mainly for a Saturday, is I'll try and take over, you know, the things like the skate sharpening, the repairs on skates, and any equipment repairs that may need done, to allow, to free him up, to allow him, he'll look at, you know, getting the room set up, you know, and getting a room set up, just, it may sound to people like, oh yeah, you know, he hangs some jerseys, whatever, like, you know, we're looking at, you know, small bins getting set up with, like, bin bags in them, so emptying rubbish, mopping floors, cleaning showers, you know, hanging the equipment, checking the equipment, you know, and he'll relate to me, like, I've picked up on something, or I'll relate to him, and depending on where we are, you know, if he's finished his laundry for that morning, for example, and he's getting this, and he's got the stalls ready, and I'm going through, say, for example, on an average Saturday game day, you could be looking at anything around 15 pairs of skates, depending on who's what and what. You may have, you know, steel to sharpened for the pouch. So for example, just based on last week and what went on last week, you know, during practice and games that, you know, I've not been with them, you know, there was something like 11 pairs of skates to be sharpened for the game, the home game, and then there was something like 7 spare, you know, brand new sets of steels to be made up, so that if a guy breaks a steel on the ice, yeah, that takes a couple of hours to get them done, because you're trying to do it properly and you're trying to make sure that, you know, the edges are level and guys have got what they want, so that when they go on the ice, there's no resistance when they're skating across the ice, they're not feeling anything, they're not slipping or falling. And, you know, that takes a wee bit of time in itself. And then that's when you start, once you've done that, once you've sharpened, you're also checking, you know, that the rivets are all okay, there's no rivets needing replaced, there's no skate repairs like some sewing, because some of these guys will, you know, they can burst eyelets, their stitching comes out, and you have to do quick fixes on them because not everybody's got two pairs of skates. So, I mean, a lot of my time in the morning, especially up to about lunchtime, is taking up with these repairs. David's dealing with, you know, laundry, you know, training wear, game day wear, you know, making sure the room's ready, you know, and cleaning it up. And then, but we both help each other in the respect of, you know, once one's finished, the other one will pick up bits and pieces, try and make it easier. And by the time lunchtime comes, you've basically got that room ready. You've got all their sticks out, all their new sticks are sitting ready for when they come in, so that if they want it cut, you'll cut it when they come in to where they want it, because sometimes they change things slightly. But in that couple of hours where we're waiting on them to arrive, when we've finished all our duties, we're away collecting shopping for them. Water, you know, things like water, tea, coffee, Red Bull, you know, stocking up on the shopping. These guys, you know, as I said, it's not like before. We're the team, the club supply basically everything for them, eh? And you know, you've got electrolytes, and Andy deals with a lot of this stuff on that side of things, but you are still picking up these things, man of the match beers, bits and pieces and stuff, and that takes up time as well, because you're going away to cash and carries and getting the shop in for, you know, for the weekend, the coming week coming, and by the time you've done all that, it's 4 o'clock and the first guy's walking in the door. And a lot of the time you'll find guys will come in and they'll just go and do their own thing before a game, but there is times they'll come in and say, oh, I forgot to ask you about this. Can you have a look at this for me? Can you have a look at that? And I mean, just like last Saturday there, you know, I was switching out holders on a pair of skates for a guy to have as a pair of backup skates 15 minutes before they hit the ice for a warm-up. Just to make sure that they were ready, so that if anything happened during the game, he doesn't have to really worry, if you know what I mean. He could go back to his old skates or do whatever. But it is, there is a lot of time consuming stuff, and even down to the fact after the game, like when the players come off and you get changed and showered and, you know, cool down and do what they need to do and walk out the door, we're still there for sometimes 2-3 hours after they've left the building, because again, you're resetting that room, you're hanging everything, getting it ready to put heaters on, dryers on, do whatever. We may have to move things to the storeroom because they're on the road really early in the morning, and they have to leave, you know, pack their kit from the store area where it's all heated and stuff as well, because we can't get into the building. So, you know, the fans come in, they'll come in for warm-up, and then they'll leave after the game, and the guys goes up off the ice. For somebody like myself and David, we could be looking at, you know, anything between 14, well, there'll be more than that now, it could be 18-hour days, for example. Wow. You know, phenomenal. Just depending on what you've got going on.
Yeah. Well, in my former life, I used to be involved with a local junior football team, and I recall those guys were quite untidy, quite messy. What are ice hockey players like?
I've always said it's like dealing with 22 kids. but I'll be brutally honest, you know, at a professional level, you have your messy ones. But what I will say is, you know, about teams I've worked with, and especially these guys that's in this team this year, you've got one or two who, you know, we like to have stalls all set up the same way, you know, shins facing the same way, elbows, helmets, you know, all on their shelves. And you get one or two guys that will maybe put their shins back to front and we'll switch them back around. But generally, 9 times out of 10, they'll put, you know, they put their things in the bin, they tidy up at the back of their shelf, and we'll go around obviously mopping up at the back of that. they respect, you know, it's hard to tell you, but like they do they don't say it, but you know that they respect the time and effort that you put in for them. They don't say it very often, but they are very, I mean, I find it especially that they are very, very appreciative. They're always saying please to me. They're always saying thank you to me, because that's what I say to them. And I'll always say to them, no problem, you know, stuff like that. That's how these guys treat me, so I treat them the same way. So it's like you treat them the way you want to be treated yourself, if you like, eh? And we've got a really, really good dressing room that way. They're all respectful of all the things and the hard work that you're putting in. And they do make a mess, but 9 times out of 10, you know, it's not as bad as, you know, the carnage that you could probably get.
Yeah.
You know, but they are pretty good.
And I bet you've had your fair share of guys like that. You know, you talk about the respect going both ways. I dare say there's characters you've met out there that maybe the respect isn't as high up as it should be.
Without naming names,
of course.
I wouldn't like to go into details,
no.
But, you know, there is some players out there that have been like that. And what I would probably say about these players that they've probably never played at a decent enough level. And I didn't mean that in a cheeky respect. I just mean that, like, I'll use, it's probably better using players that, you know, some of the fans listening to the podcast would understand. It's like guys like Matt Keith, guys like Rick Jackman. Rick Jackman said to me at the end of the season, that first season I come and help the Clan, he went, "Horse, you could make this in, you know, any NHL team." He says, for me, this was like going back to the show when you came in. So, you know, you take a wee bit from that, you're like, oh my God. You know, and I had to say, I mean, you taking the mickey out of me here. And he's like, no, I'm being genuinely serious. You know, you've been brilliant. And that in itself is amazing to hear, you know, a Stanley Cup winner turn around and saying you're doing a fantastic job. You know, Nathan McKeever, as I said, Keithar, Rick Jackman, Russ Meyer, you know, he went on a thing with Jerry and Brendan Brooks, and they spoke about me, and, you know, the respect that Russ Meyer had for me, Jim Jorgensen, that played in Glasgow, you know, Woody Peaks. I think at the end of every season, I have to keep pinching myself, and I'll always say it, and I'll always thank the organisations. I still consider myself very lucky that I can be included in a pro hockey team as a staff member, doing something that I class as a hobby, and getting the respect and the feedback that I get for doing something I enjoy. You know what I mean? And I suppose you can't ask for anything more than that.
Indeed not. I want to ask you about one of your colleagues in the equipment staff fraternity. I don't mean any of the guys at Glasgow Clan. You'll know, obviously, David Owen, also known as Deez, who's working now with Graz 99ers in Austria. You know, and that's an opportunity of a lifetime for him. Hypothetically, if you were offered the same kind of job, is that something you would consider?
Yeah, I think I would have to say that depending on what it was, where it was, and what circumstances were involved, I would certainly consider it. I know I'm getting a wee bit later in life, you know, some people, you're still classed as young, you know, I'm in my late 40s, but I still think, yeah, I would consider it, definitely, because it's something I do enjoy doing. And, you know, that job that Deez has got in Austria, I am so pleased for him. You know, I worked, obviously I was down at the playoffs with the Flyers, and Deez was obviously there with Cardiff at the time, and, you know, I was in, and then Deez would come in the morning to deal with his stuff, and then we'd see, you know, Andy at Sheffield, and, you know, to see these guys, you know, they're in early every morning, and you build up great relationships with them. So someone to see someone like Deez, knowing how hard Deez works, and, you know, how much he loves the job, get an opportunity like that, I think it's fantastic for him. And I'm really pleased to see him, you know, doing so well as well and enjoying himself. We still keep in contact. He sent me a wee message earlier on tonight, as a matter of fact. So, you know, we always keep in contact. You know, I try and keep in contact with people like Taff and Belfast and stuff. But, you know, that's one thing about the equipment side of things. Like, the guys, we build up relationships because we all know that, you know, the way hockey is in the UK, we need to support each other at times, even though we're on opposite teams, you know.
Now, I can't let you go without asking this, which could be perceived as a personal question. But why are you called Horse?
Some people, a question. some people say it's because I've got a long face.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. It's just an old thing. My brother, years and years and years ago, you know, I don't know if you remember, but I was quite a big laddie when I was younger. It was one of my brother's friends, basically made a joke. He was like, "Oh, who's that?" When my brother came over to talk to me someplace, you know, that's my brother. So I said, he's a horse, because it was like a big Shire horse, the way he looked at it. So it was just because I was quite a big laddie at the time, and that's where it came from. It just stuck, to be honest. It's nothing special or fancy about it, but it just stuck, and everybody knows he's his horse, and it's just a name that stuck with me. And it's quite funny because you see people in the street and they don't even know your first name, but they know you get called Horse, and it sticks. So as long as it sticks, I don't mind it. And it's, you know, it's nice if people are calling you by your nickname, then they either like you or they've got some respect for you. That's the way I look at it.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to The Clan Chat.
Ian Horse Kelly on equipment management and why he's called Horse. It's the one you've been waiting for now, and we're delighted to bring you a Clan Chat exclusive as we get the first interview with the newest member of the Clan team. Scott Jacklin has arrived in Glasgow ahead of the weekend, I'm delighted to say, and I gave him a call on his arrival in Scotland to talk about his move. His career has taken him from Robert Morris University in the NCAA to Elmira Jackals, Brampton Beast, Norfolk Admirals, a short spell in Denmark with Herlev Eagles, and last season and a bit in France with Chamonix, who he played with until last week. So, now he's here and he's ready to begin a new adventure, and I started by asking him how it felt to be in the UK and in the Elite League.
I'm just really excited at the opportunity to come in and play here. Excited for a fresh start, and something different is always a good thing, I think. So just excited to get going.
Now, you left Chamonix last week. So how did this deal to come to Glasgow transpire? And what was the timeline that led to your arrival?
It was probably maybe a week or two after I left Chamonix last week, and this came to fruition a couple of days ago. So, I was just trying to find the right place, and this opportunity came up, and I thought I would jump at the chance to come here. It sounded like they had a good group of guys, and they're doing well, so hopefully I can help them keep that going.
What were the main attractions in helping you decide that Glasgow was the move for you?
I don't know, just the factors. One of my really good buddies played here last year, Tyson Wilson, and so I had a good talk with him about the guys and the coach this year, and just the atmosphere of the guys, and the opportunity to come in and play for a team that's been doing well, so that'll be a nice change for me.
So what have you learned about the Glasgow Clan when you were weighing up your options? You said there's a good group of guys, obviously that's important, obviously, coming in, but what do you learn about a team when you come to decide these things?
I'm not really too sure. You kind of pick stuff up as you go, but I heard, you know, they have great fan support and a really nice arena, and I mean, I heard the travel isn't the best, but I've played in leagues that have a lot worse travel, I think. So, yeah, just kind of those kind of things definitely play a factor, like in my choice to come here.
So, what can the fans expect of you as a player, and what will you bring to the Glasgow Clan team?
I'm hoping to bring just some energy and skill, and I like to play with some grit, so finish my checks and hopefully score some goals as well.
Now, as we record, it's Thursday. You've literally just arrived in Glasgow. You're getting settled in as we speak. So have you had the chance to meet your teammates yet, meet anybody from the club?
No, I just met the coach. He picked me up from the airport and showed me around, so that was pretty nice. And other than that, I'm guessing I'll meet most of them for the game tomorrow night, so it should be interesting, but yeah, I'm excited.
Good. Now, can it be difficult to move into a team sort of mid-season when all the bonds have been forged between the guys and there's already a unit there? Can that be difficult as the new guy coming in?
Yeah, I think it's kind of as difficult as you want it to be. Most of the guys that have played in North America have, you know, played for multiple teams, and you know, hockey is a big family, so most people are pretty open to new players when they come in, to make them feel welcome instead of not making them feel welcome. That's not going to help anybody. So most teams that I've came into, all the players and people within the organization have made you feel at home and make you feel comfortable so you can perform your best.
Now, as we speak, your first game, all going well, should be on Friday when the Clan take on the Nottingham Panthers. How excited are you to get started and start this new phase of your career?
I'm excited. I can't wait to see what the Clan fans have in store, and it'll be nice to have a change and just play a different style of game. I think it's a little bit more North American in the elite league, so which I think will transfer better for my skill set. So that was another reason why I decided to come here. And yeah.
And finally, just before we finish, you told me you're going to be wearing the number 54 jersey. Is there any significance in why you've got that number?
It's the sum of the month, the day, and the year of when me and my wife got married. So it's June 30th, 2018 is when we got married. So 6, 30, and 18 all added up together to 54. So that's why I'm wearing that number. And yeah, it's been nice to wear a number that has a little bit of history behind it. It's kind of the first number I've actually had that's like that.
Hey, this is Jordan Haywood, and I listen to Clan Chat.
New Clan forward Scott Jacklin, and you can see him making his Clan debut on Friday when they play Nottingham Panthers. Face-off is at 7:30 p.m, and tickets are still available, so check out the website, clanihc.com, to get those if you haven't already. Let's solve the Clan conundrum, and at the start of the show, I asked how many points has Scott Pitt picked up since returning to the Clan at the start of last season in the 8 games against the Nottingham Panthers. The answer is 10, made up of 4 goals and 6 assists, and let's hope for more of the same on Friday. Another conundrum next time.
Hey, this is Matt Hayward, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That's us for this edition, but before we go, as we recorded, Glasgow Clan also announced the signing of Chad Smith, who joins after leaving Fife Flyers, and I'm delighted to say Chad will join us on the podcast next week. Just to give you a final reminder to buy your tickets for Friday's game against Nottingham Panthers, face-off is at 7:30 p.m, so get those now at clanihc.com. Well, you're at it. Get your tickets for Matt Hayward's testimonial on Tuesday, the 4th of February. You'll find those on Ticketmaster. For the latest news around the club, check out the website, and if you haven't yet, don't forget to like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ClanIHC. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Audioboom, and the newest episode will download automatically to your device. Please leave a review as well and tell us what you think or what you want to hear generally, and all feedback is welcomed. My thanks to Scott Arson, Ian Kelly and new Clan signing Scott Jacklin for their time this week, and of course thanks to producer Stuart Priest for what he does in making this sound as good as it does. Finally, my biggest thanks go to you for listening and downloading, and we'll be back soon for more from around the Glasgow Clan. I'm Craig Anderson. Bye for now.